In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor John Fallahy, as he shares the truth for the day.
Hi, this is Pastor John, Discipleship Pastor at Brookside Baptist Church, and I'm so glad you could join us for our journey through the book of Exodus. We are in Exodus chapter 22. God is giving Moses various laws so that the people of Israel would be a just people. Now, in this portion, we're looking at money. That is, material goes missing. Have you ever had anyone steal from you? You know what that violation feels like. So let's take a look and see how God handles the thief. If a man delivers to his neighbor money or articles to keep, and it is stolen out of the man's house, if the thief is found, he shall pay double. If the thief is not found, then the master of the house shall be brought to the judges. And in the Hebrew, it's the word Elohim. In other words, those deciding on behalf of God, to see whether he has put his hand into his neighbor's goods. Now, this is really fascinating because you have this situation where the ownership temporarily is transferred to a friend, a neighbor, etc. And while it's in the ownership of this friend or neighbor, it goes missing. And the question is, what happened to it? Was it stolen from someone else? Or did this new owner say, I'm going to keep this for myself? Now, bailment is the legal relationship in common law where the owner transfers physical possession of personal property for a time, but retains ownership. The owner giving up custody is the bailor. So we've got bailment and bailor, and the person who takes is the bailee. So the articles are something of value. So why am I going through this? Because this is really important to understand who has ownership at the time of the theft. Implication, being a custodian requires faithfulness and responsibility. The fact something goes missing does not remove the responsibility of investigation and possible restitution. Now, I want to take this to a whole nother level. Are you and I not stewards of everything that God gives us? There's nothing that we brought into this world, and there's nothing we can take out of this world. But essentially, we're all custodians. How are you doing in your faithfulness and responsibility to be this custodian? This is a significant issue. We're not only custodian of material things, but we're also custodians of God's spiritual gifts that he gives each one of us. And so the challenge and reminder in this passage is, one, is that when you take ownership of someone else's property, you need to really take care. And also, as believers, we have such a high standard that this is how we are to steward all of God's resources. So I pray, ask God for wisdom, for strength to do the right thing and to be the kind of custodian that would be a blessing to others. All right, let's talk about finders keepers. Verse 9, for any kind of trespass, whether it concerns an ox, a donkey, a sheep, or clothing, or for any kind of lost thing which another claims to be his, the cause of both parties shall come before the judges, and whomever the judges condemn shall pay double to his neighbor. So clearly this has to be settled with a court. If there is a theft, you pay double. If there's a false accusation, you pay double. So there is this kind of a safety net from frivolous lawsuits. Implication, beware of jumping too quickly to judgment. A great reminder for all of us. Now let's continue with safekeeping, but let's talk about animals, death, injured, or missing, and there's no witnesses. Exodus chapter 22, verse 10. If a man delivers to his neighbor a donkey, an ox, a sheep, or any animal to keep, and it dies, it hurt or is driven away, no one seeing it, then an oath of the Lord shall be between them both, that he has not put his hand into his neighbor's goods, and the owner of it shall accept that, and he shall not make it good. So very, very important nuances here. Let's look at verse 12 and 13, then we'll review. But if, in fact, it is stolen from him, he shall make restitution to the owner of it. If it is torn to pieces by a beast, then he shall bring it as evidence, and he shall not make good what was torn. All right, so what's going on? We have an oath, that is, a statement and pledge. And stolen implies negligence on behalf of the one who is safekeeping the animal. And torn to pieces by beast implies no negligence on behalf of the one who is safekeeping. So do you see how important this is? The Lord does take into account an individual and what their responsibility is. Verse 14, and if a man borrows anything from his neighbor and becomes injured or dies, the owner, that is the lender, of it not being with it, he should surely make it good. If its owner, lender, was with it, he shall not make it good. So you can see that it does make a difference. When borrowing, it matters whether this owner is involved. If pay is involved, then restitution is built in. It's a very interesting insight because let's say you borrow a lawnmower and something goes wrong and the owner's not there. Well, you're going to probably be on the hook. But if the owner's there and can clearly see the lawnmower failed, well, it's no longer the responsibility of the neighbor. And that's what I think the Lord is getting at. Hey, if the owner sees it and understands the context and an eyewitness that it really wasn't his fault, well, then there's going to be no consequence. Now, what's the implication for the risk? The owner takes the risk in safekeeping. The borrower takes the risk in borrowing. And this is the heart of it. Now, we're going to get to people, and we're going to deal with some issues that are very hard to listen to. But nevertheless, they are prevalent at the time of Moses. And this is defiling the daughter. We're dealing with the topic of premarital sex. Chapter 22, verses 16 through 17. If a man entices a virgin who is not betrothed and lays with her, he shall surely pay the bride price to her to be his wife. If her father utterly refuses to give her to him, he shall pay monthly according to the bride price of virgins. Now, what does betrothed mean? It means pledge, contractually to be married. Entices means a virgin who willingly going to give up her virginity. And the bride price is the maximum payout for a virgin daughter given to the father. Now, the cultural implications of premarital sex are significant. Number one, the father's authority was rejected. Second, the bride price is reduced. And third, if a child is born after the fact, this risks the first child not being his own. And this is a big deal because that first child tends to be, if it's male, is going to lead the family into the future. Now, what are some cross-references that might help us understand this? Well, I think the birth of Christ is a great example where this was played out, but a little bit differently. Matthew 1:18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, so there's the betrothed qualifier, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child has been conceived in her, is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and she will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now, all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophets. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Now, this is a great example in the New Testament where we're dealing with this properly. Mary was betrothed. Now, Joseph wasn't trying to entice her, so this is not applicable at all. But you can see how, through God's providence, that this marriage was able to stay together. And it's just a wonderful picture of how this should be. And as we've talked about in previous examples, young women and young men, if you're dating, please, you know, do not fornicate. And, you know, really get yourself to a church, talk to a pastor. If you're living together and you're not married, I speak specifically to the gentleman, you need to man up and you need to get out of that sinful situation. Get to a church. Get to a church that will help you through this transition. You want to honor each other and you want to honor the Lord. Now let's continue with this defiling a person. First we defile the daughter. Now we're defiling another type of woman, the sorceress. Exodus chapter 22, verse 18. You shall not permit a sorceress to live. Now what is sorcery in this context? Well, it's witchcraft, black magic, rituals, and other type of demonic practices. And these practices were connected to demons, and thus it was rebelling against God. Now Deuteronomy 18:10 says, there shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire, or one who practices witchcraft or soothsayer, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or the one who calls up the dead. Boy, that's pretty clear. 2 Chronicles 33:6, and he caused his sons to pass through the fire of the valley of the son of Hinnom, which later became Gehenna. He practiced soothsaying, used witchcraft and sorcery, and consulted mediums and spiritists. He did much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. And then Daniel 2:2, then the king gave the command to call the magicians, the astrologers, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans to tell the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king, and the king said to them, I have had a dream, and my spirit is anxious to know the dream. So Nebuchadnezzar had these pagan individuals surrounding his court. Malachi 3:5, and I will come near for judgment. I will be a swift witness against sorcerers. So you can see how the Lord thinks of sorcerers. Acts 8:9. There was a certain man called Simon who previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was something great, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And they heeded him because he astonished them with his sorceries for a long time. Now, what's going on? We can see that sorcery was real in the days of the apostles. Acts 19:19. Also, many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. And they counted up the value of them, and it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. So in this case, they became convicted under the Holy Spirit and brought out their books and they burned them. Amen to that. A true revival was going on. Now, Galatians 5:19. Now, the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contention, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Bottom line, Revelation 22:15, outsider dogs and sorcerers, sexually immoral, murderers and idolaters, and whoever loves and practices a lie. So what's going on here? In closing, God is showing that this type of behavior has consequences. We should not be dabbling in this arena. And so if you're involved in sorcery and spell casting and all along those lines, I pray abandon that and run to the true and living God. Thanks for joining us through our journey through Exodus. And I pray that you'll continue as we continue in Exodus 22:19 on the laws of God.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program or have a question we can answer, please contact us at the Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about the Word for Life, to make a donation to continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.